This is episode 27 of Trash Talking with Eco Warriors featuring Christina Grace from Foodprint.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
From Italy to Google, the lineup of companies that Christina Grace's company Foodprint has worked with is pretty impressive. What is a Foodprint, you ask? Well, your Foodprint is the result of everything that it takes to get food on your plate, including the effect that the food has on the farmers who make it, the land where it's grown, and the animals who are part of it. I was fascinated to talk to Christina because she's worked with, quite frankly, some of the largest companies in the world and some of the most popular food chains here in New York City, like Dig In and Eataly. She is helping these companies to minimize their impact by creating better signage and education for waste streams. She consulted in the creation of New York City's Zero Waste Guidelines and also worked with Laura Rosenshine from Carmen Ground Compost, an organization we covered on the show last season. Christina's background in marketing, public policy, and technology led to her success in running Foodprint. Without further ado, let's get trash talking. Christina, welcome to Trash Talking.
Great to be here.
So if you could just explain a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Sure. I'm Christina Grace. I am the CEO of Foodprint Group. We are a zero waste services company. We work with food businesses of all types, mostly multi-site, quick service. We work with companies like Dig In here in New York and Boston. We work with Eataly, which is a big food and Italian food retailer around the country. We also work in corporate dining with companies like Google and Restaurant Associates. And so we help our clients get to zero waste, which is 90% or better diversion from landfill, by attacking their waste problems through design and lots of training. It's pretty new thinking in terms of really trying to take a design approach to waste, and we're making pretty great headway. We love what we do.
Can you kind of expand a little bit? Like, so for example, pick like one of the companies. I actually think that's pretty interesting that you guys did Google's, because I've been to their cafeteria in several different states, including like San Francisco and here in New York City. And I think they have a pretty robust and amazing program.
And we work with them in New York City, where we're based, and they work with groups all over the country and do things differently. And they definitely have a really aggressive corporate policy on waste reduction and recycling. I think one of the companies that we work with, Dig In, is a great example, because they've taken our methodology pretty much from start to finish in their sites and are kind of trying everything. So they might be a fun one to talk about. Based here in New York, they're in Boston and growing really quickly. And it might be a place that folks who listen in,
yes,
go to get lunch, which so they can start to look around and see what they see. And we are just rolling out with Dig In, but we're in 10 sites, and we will be in all their sites. And what that really means is, from a design perspective, both in front and back of house in a restaurant environment, they're putting the proper recycling infrastructure in place. It means that people who are cooking food can very easily turn and drop their food waste into a bucket or bowl nearby to prep for composting. It means that it's super clear there's recycling and trash and compost, that we say it's equal opportunity disposal. It is as easy and as convenient and close to dispose of all your materials, that the signage is clear. One of the things that, and we see this at home, you may not see this when you're at a restaurant and you've just bought a dish, but when you're at home, all the food you bring in the house has so much different packaging.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know what to do with everything. Well, that's like what it is in the back of house at a restaurant. Things are coming in wrapped in plastic, and they have all kinds of different, whether it's styrofoam and other things that you have to deal with. And it's even more difficult in the kitchen at a restaurant than it is in the front of the house to actually figure out what to do with materials. So the signage needs to be awesome. It needs to be so clear. And we need to tell people what goes in which bin very clearly, but also what doesn't. So every, you know, the recycling sign is going to, at the very bottom, say, you know, with a big circle and a line through it, what not to put in.
Yeah.
But we're looking at the basics of your signage, your bin infrastructure. We're looking at how materials move through a space so it's easy and safe for people to move waste. We're looking at trying to work with vendors to deliver not in cardboard but in reusable containers. We spend a lot of time upstream, they call it upstream, with purchasing, trying to figure out how we get better products in the door that are either recyclable or reusable. And we're really, really focused on reusables because we know that no matter how good we are at our recycling of plastics or even compostable dishware, that the solution to getting to zero waste is really to get rid of so much of the waste items in our lives and start with reusable dishware, reusable everything.
Okay, so that's super interesting. Could you actually, like, walk us through, so what would it look like? So, like, let's say, for example, like, I'm a chef at Dig In, and I take in this tray of broccoli. What does that look like for me as the employee working in the back of house?
If you're taking in, say you're taking in a case and it's prepackaged, and what we're trying to figure out is how we can get more materials in the door. And Dig In's a great example because they've got a commissary kitchen. So they are centralizing where they're dealing with a lot of the more complicated packaging. And so that broccoli may arrive to a restaurant already cut.
Oh.
For some of their items, and some of the things will come unprepared and they're going to have to manage that. But the more that they handle at their commissary, the more that you can easily divert materials.
Got it.
What's interesting is, I mean, there's still a lot of prep waste because they do a lot of prep on site at all of the restaurants. Uh-huh. But where their bigger opportunity in at the restaurant sites is, for example, it is donations, where at the end of the day, no matter how good you plan, mm-hmm. there will be food left on the line.
Yes.
And there's an extremely robust food donations program.
Yeah. No, I'm super familiar with it. I know that Rescuing Leftover Cuisine, who we also had on the show, actually grabbed food from Dig In.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's multiple partners and growing, obviously, as sites grow in other cities. But at the prep level, at the restaurants, you know, when they're cutting that broccoli down, if there's any surplus, they're going to have a compost bucket right by them. When that fills up, there's a central, what we call a tote, 64-gallon larger bin on wheels that they're going to dump that food waste into. And then that is so much easier to move around. Food waste is very heavy.
Yeah.
So we're constantly trying to find ways to make it easy if you're going to be separating out your food waste. And sometimes it's got a lot of liquid in it, and water is the heaviest material that you need to have containers where it's easy to move and easy to handle and easy to store, and that can store and clamp shut if it's on the curb because you don't want to deal with pests. Here in New York City, a lot of things go out on the sidewalk. Some of our clients are lucky enough to be putting materials in a compactor that seals shut and is enclosed in a building, but a lot of waste goes out to the curb here in New York City. And so it has to be managed really, really well. But, you know, from a comprehensive perspective, we're looking at the setup so that everybody has the right tools to manage the materials, that everybody gets educated. So we do trainings of employees that kind of give the bigger picture of what is the company policy? Why are we recycling and composting? What's the process and how are we tracking our success? And then at the station level, when someone's working, we go in and we train and say, okay, this is the closest bin to where you are, and this is how you handle it. So that it's not just big picture, but someone knows where they're working every day. This is how you handle things. And then the staff that actually moves the waste, I mean, that's the job that we're trying to improve the most, right? Because, it's heavy, it's messy. We want that job to be easier. We want people to recognize how important it is because there's nothing more important than food safety and pest management in a food environment.
Yep.
And so we spend a lot of time with housekeeping and janitorial staff to, again, figure out how to improve the work and how to also learn what the big challenges are. And in, for example, with Eataly, where their stores are giant. They've got 500 employees and so many different kinds of stations. People are prepping food and selling fresh food here, and there are restaurants over there, and there's back of the house food lab, and so much to keep track of. And the housekeeping team is so important, and their job is really huge. But they're the ones that actually are the first line of defense when we've trained everybody, but there's still contamination in the compost, or there's still contamination in recycling, because they're the ones who go to pull the bags and can see it. So we rely on people to be training their coworkers to say, hey, this doesn't go in here. And so that's super important. And then there are team members on site in a big operation like that, and we've created tools for them to actually do regular walkthroughs where they're for compost contamination and recycling contamination, so that they can have a scorecard of how well they're doing month to month. And then, you know, bigger picture, we work with our clients to do daily waste tracking. And that can be, and it's generally unit tracking, so it can be, oh, there were 10 bags that we put out to the curb today and 3 totes of compost. On another day, it's 5 bags of trash and 4 bags of recycling, whatever, and day to day. And what we do is we do intermittent weighing of materials, so our clients can know on a day, you know, get down to the daily level of how are we doing? Are we creating more waste? Are we separating it better? Is our diversion rate going up or down for what we're keeping out of the trash?
I was going to say, is there a benefit to the business? Because I know in New York City, like, trash is weighed, like, for removal for businesses. So is there a benefit to a business switching over? Since you just mentioned food weighs a lot, is there a benefit monetarily or to the business in general to actually switch and become a little bit more eco-friendly?
From a cost perspective, composting, particularly here in New York City, we don't see a cost savings from hauling. It's generally about the same as the cost of hauling trash. What we see, though, is that once you're composting and you're separating your food waste from the trash and you're recognizing what it is, I mean, the last thing a chef wants to do is waste food. It's an expensive resource, but it's also emotionally something very important. They're here. They want that food to be eaten, right? So particularly when there's prepared food left at the end of the day, nobody's happy about it. And it's a huge expense to a business. Whether it's going in the trash or compost, it's food that could have been eaten. So beyond donations, which we love, what we're really trying to do is get our clients to track their food waste so that, and really look at their inventory management and figure out what are the opportunities where we can not overpurchase or not overproduce. And so we're talking about maybe they prepped too much of a particular item and that was on the line at the end of the day, or didn't even get out to the line, but they won't serve it tomorrow. Or maybe they ordered too much and lettuce spoiled in the fridge, or, you know, whatever it was. Being able to track that on a daily basis, and all inventory management tools have waste functionality, but it's so underutilized. It's so underutilized. And we're super excited about tools like LeanPath and Winnow, where people are weighing menu items, you know, they're weighing individual items and tracking that. But the reality is that there's inventory management features and functions out there that every business has access to because everyone tracks their inventory, right, that don't get used.
This goes back to what you were saying before about, like, it has to be about the design. So just because you build a feature in, or you implement something or adopt something, it doesn't mean that it's going to be used if it's poorly designed.
Absolutely. And if people don't, if you're not training people to use it, if you're not a part of the procedure, that this is what we're supposed to do. I can't mention any names, but we've been working with one inventory management company where we actually went through and looked at how, you know, we put weights to different items, like packaging for this case of lettuce, and also that we could use the inventory management system to suss out how much waste is being created by what they order. And that was a really fun project that they're expanding on. And I think, gosh, if we could get to a place where you could use your inventory to management system to forecast your waste and prevent it, right? It's really what you want to do. Make changes, make decisions about how you're purchasing your food so it doesn't come in certain packaging, or really understanding what you're over ordering, all the better. Yeah. So that, you know, that we spend a lot of time, because that's where the cost savings is. We want all our clients composting. And what we tell them is that we are going to be able to pay for all of your better recycling and composting through food waste reduction and other waste reduction, because waste reduction is where the cost savings is. Yeah. I mean, that said, when we're putting a program in place, a company may call us because they want to compost, but we don't go in and just set up a composting program. We're saying, okay, we're going to look at this comprehensively. You've got to have a full-on zero waste program, and we're going to focus on recycling too. And we're going to make sure that we're capturing all the cardboard. We're going to make sure we are separating out all of the recycling from the trash because recycling is cheaper than trash.
Yeah.
And so we may be able to save money on the hauling bill overall by improving recycling while we're adding composting.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I love that you guys are only approaching this holistically because realistically, at the end of the day, if you only do one thing, it does help. But, you know, this is a common complaint that I hear from people. They're individuals who live in the household and they're like, hey, I compost at home and I try to buy as little packaging as possible and I recycle. But then I go out and I, you know, eat at these restaurants and these businesses and I'm at work and none of that applies. And how do I make an impact in like the bigger picture, right? Not just like at home.
Well, and it's hard because we live in a takeout world. When we talk to offices and we make decisions on whether we're going to work with a company, we're obviously focusing on offices that have corporate dining because that's an area where we know we can have a huge impact. But there's food in every office and there's a lot of food in not every office. Everybody eats lunch. And what's happening, it's all coming from different places with different kinds of packaging. So we can work with a company to use only reusable dishware in their pantries, right? And to have all ceramic coffee mugs. But they're, you know, but employees are still bringing so much in from the outside.
Oh, yeah.
So this is where, you know, this is where we're focusing on. You know, we need centralized waste stations that are super clear. And then we also need to encourage and have fabulous corporate promotions where companies are giving employees reusable coffee mugs. You know, Etsy's fabulous. They have, copied all their employees, but people still want to go across the street, you know, to get different coffee.
Totally.
And so they will leave mugs at the exit for employees to take with them when they're going to get coffee outside of their offices.
Yeah, my friend who works at Etsy was telling me, I do think what they and what Kickstarter are doing are really fabulous.
It's, I mean, they're looking at, for example, if they're buying snacks, whether it's nuts or other things, they buy everything in bulk.
Yep.
They don't buy anything individually packaged. And that is rare. That is rare.
Yeah.
And it's so, I mean, they've really taken a comprehensive approach. They also engage their employees in the audits that they have and things. So employees can participate in digging through the garbage. And as much as that sounds messy, it's one of the things that we spend a lot of time on. It's where you learn everything, right? It's where you build an understanding of what we're throwing away.
Yeah.
We have audited corporate sites where someone actually had a full cup of coffee in a ceramic mug that they wrapped in a plastic bag and they put it in the trash. And when we audited at the loading dock and unwrapped the plastic, the coffee cup was still full. It was amazing, but it was also ridiculous because you're like, what the heck?
Who did that?
How is it that you couldn't walk over to the pantry, tip out the coffee and put the mug in the dishwasher? You know, but these are, it's crazy. So, but it's great for employees to see that because, and particularly the visuals, right? Take lots of pictures and share it with everyone. Etsy also reports their monthly diversion, waste diversion. So if they're at 89% this month, when you go to a central waste station, they have a little whiteboard that has the current. So you know, and you remember, oh, last month it was at 85, we're doing better. Or wait, ooh, it was at 92 last month. What happened? You know, so that employees can really be engaged. I mean, this is what we're trying to do with all of our clients on the reporting front is not just for management to know what's going on and how much better we're doing, but for that to translate into employee communication and motivation. I mean, at Etsy, because they have a tool called Diversity where they're actually weighing materials when they clean out their central waste stations. And so they can actually track back to a waste station what the waste was. So this side of the office can actually compete with the other side of the office.
Oh, wow.
Who has a better diversion rate. Get down to that granularity.
That could get messy though. Like someone just like puts their trash on the other side of the office.
On the other side. I know. There's so much you can do, but at least, I mean, it's at least it keeps the conversation going, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing is that this is New York City alone, you know, 8 million tons of waste a year and more than 30% of that is organic. And we're trying to get to zero waste by 2030, and we're not going to get there just by doing a better job composting. We actually have to reduce so much waste to achieve our goals. And I mean, this is the same nationally. I mean, we know food waste is more than a third of our waste stream, And we know how much edible food is going to waste. So I think what's nice is over the last, particularly this last year, there's just been a lot more media attention on the problems. And we've had there's been more research. I love, if you haven't looked at it, to check out the ReFED report. Now, ReFED is just really, it's a not-for-profit that has just taken on food waste. And they've done great research on what interventions to eliminate food waste are the most effective, which have the greatest economic value, which will conserve the most water, which will have the most positive carbon impacts. And they're all around prevention and recovery versus recycling. Wow. In terms of the ones, I could tell you the difference, the economic value of donating a ton of food is, over $2,000, actually close to $3,000 per ton. The economic value of sending your food waste to centralized composting is about $3.50 a ton. The carbon benefits of that donation are, eight times higher, seven times higher, doing my math here. I mean, it's just seven times higher for the prevention over the recycling. So I think it's really important for people to kind of understand in their own kitchens. It's great that you're composting now, but use the opportunity to see what you're wasting.
Yeah.
And make different decisions so that you don't buy so much lettuce next time, or you don't just toss that takeout. You eat leftovers tomorrow or whatever. Because I think that's the big lesson here is that we all can have a huge impact if we start to waste less.
Yeah. And Christina, I want to shift the conversation a little bit. Tell us more about your background and how you got into becoming the CEO of Foodprint and why this is important to you.
Sure. So this is probably my fourth career at this point, but it kind of brings a lot of things together. I studied politics in college and I worked in high tech for a decade, but I really love food. So I am a trained cook. And I ended up kind of moving my marketing and policy interests into sustainable food systems about almost, 16 years ago. And I started at the other end of the food chain. And I have done a lot of work around local food systems, regional food systems planning, really helping farmers connect with urban markets. I spent a number of years at the New York State Department of Agriculture, where I ran their urban food systems program. I've done a ton of food policy work. So I pretty much had my fingers in every piece of the food chain. And most recently, kind of starting at the farm, I had finally kind of hit the end of the food chain where I got pulled into some projects around food waste about, now it's at least 6-7 years ago. And what's interesting is, I loved the work. I got involved in helping businesses start to really think about the decisions that they're making. And even looking at larger design decisions could we actually process food waste on site in these really cool systems? Could we make energy on site in a small anaerobic digester? Could we make fertilizer? Could we compost? What could we do on site with all the food waste we generate for some of these larger? So at that point, I was working with larger developers who had many food businesses on a single site. I was involved early on in Hudson Yards planning, and there's just so much food being generated there. And then ended up working with companies like Google, and I was hired by Vornado, another developer. And that sort of kicked things off where suddenly so much of my work, because at that point I was a consultant, so much of my work was in this space. And I had done work with Laura Rosenshine, who is the founder of Common Ground Compost. And I had hired Common Ground Compost to work with me on a couple projects. And Laura and I worked well together, and we had similar goals, and we both felt that we weren't having enough impact in the work that we were doing, where it felt very one-off with companies, and we really wanted to have a national footprint. We wanted to work with companies to come up with corporate programs and to really, really think about their goals from a high level and actually, be able to provide a program to them that was easy to replicate across 10 sites, 20 sites, 100 sites, 1,000 sites over time. So that's kind of where we are now, is that we've been building that program and rolling it out. And so I went from, yeah, the other end of the food chain to here. And I'm super excited to be here because the work is really interesting from a problem-solving perspective. There are just so many. Yeah. There are so many small things that have to go right for these programs to be successful. The details do count. And obviously there are bigger wins like food waste reduction and donations. But for the program to be successful, you have to be thinking about the details. Like, is it easy for me when I'm standing at this recycling station to figure out where to put whatever is in my hand? And the design pieces are very fun. We were very lucky to be brought into the process to develop New York City Zero Waste Design Guidelines. It was a project funded by Rockefeller Foundation under the American Institute of Architects, and we were one of three co-authors of the guidelines. We focused on the commercial issues, commercial business issues, and on food waste. And I think that for us was also great because it put us in the middle of architects and developers and building managers and business operators and all these, and really we got to learn a ton. And also, it just solidified our thinking on how important design is to making, to getting to zero waste. Designing the places we're in, whether it's a public space in a park or whether it's in your office building or even what it looks like in your home, in your recycling spaces.
And so let's circle that back. So I know that one of the big things that I hear a lot on this podcast is about individuals and what they can do. I think, you know, there's small things that all of us can do. So for example, in my office, I am the person who is pushing for us to get our replate order in. I've worked with our catering company. We do get lunch catered every day. I've worked with our catering company to actually get the numbers to be a little bit more accurate so we don't have tons of food waste. And we do have a compost bin. I'm working with WeWork to try to make sure that the compost bin is in place and being utilized. And then I have a friend of mine who actually listens to my podcast. He works for a very large corporate organization, and he's actually starting an environmental group within his corporate job. I know that you're saying that like the company does need to be bought into this idea, and it obviously takes, you know, a company to make this change and want to do these programs. But I think individuals can affect change as well in their own workplaces.
Absolutely. And usually it was one or a set of individuals that really pushed the issue to the top of the food chain, you know, at the company in order to get the company policy in place. And even with our programming, we're always looking for the on-the-ground champions who are going to actually be there when we're not and make sure that at each site, at a client's, that things are going well. And that champion comes from different departments. You're really looking for the people who care, right? But I think what can individuals do? So much. Obviously, the waste issue is so huge. It's just so huge. And again, we're just not going to tackle it through recycling, because recycling is never going to be as beneficial as eliminating waste in the first place. So there are so many businesses that have disposable coffee cups in the food pan, micro kitchens or pantries or whatever. But there are so, and a lot of them are designed without dishwashing. And, yes, you know, the fight to get the dishwasher, the fight to get the ceramic cups and the plumbing and to get filtered water and not have bottled water. I mean, getting rid of bottled water in an office environment is one of the top things you can do to have a positive environmental. Mm. It's huge. So fighting for the simple things and then making those decisions in your life, like not buying the bottled water. You know, if you must have carbonated water, get a soda stream. You know, I think it's really starting to think about what we're doing in our home that contribute to the throwaway society. But at the office, just starting with the coffee cups and then moving, you know, what we have seen sometimes when we've audited very large office spaces is that catering that came in noon is still sitting in these large rooms at 6 o'clock waiting for the janitorial staff to come and dump it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, why at the end of that meeting didn't someone bring it back to a shared pantry? People eat everything. I mean, if it's in a public place, people will, you know, they will. And so, you know, just getting a policy in place that says whoever coordinated this meeting has to move this food out to someplace in this office where someone is going to eat it. Because once it's sat for 6 hours, I mean, and it's such a shame because often really good food, and you know, it's just, so I think little things like that go a very long way. because, again, food waste is heavy. And imagine you have, even if you have 50 pounds a day, multiply that over the, you know, 250 plus days a year that the office is open, how much food waste is going into the trash. We want to see all offices have compost programs, but again, we still want to push for the food to be eaten that's edible, and other things left over after their lunches and things, and we want them to be able to compost. We have a real problem with compostable dishware, though, and how so much of it can't be composted in different cities because there isn't infrastructure to handle it. How to eliminate the disposables as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, no, I mean, and the other unfortunate thing is, because I see this in my office, we have dishes, we have forks, we have mugs, and people will still use the disposable stuff, which is, I think, the most mind-boggling thing for me.
You have to take it away. Take it away.
The Facebook catering company keeps giving them to us, and so there's just like giant piles of it. And I've asked them, I've told them not to. They just keep giving them to us.
But, you know, Facebook, at the start of their New York office, I remember going to visit, and I didn't see any disposable dishware because they make you ask for it. They make you ask for it. They really are trying to encourage you to sit down and eat in the dining room. But if you have to take a plate back to your desk, more power to you. Forcing people to ask, sure, someone might need a disposable cup at some point. But if you have to ask for it, you're just going to use what's available.
Cool. This has been absolutely fascinating, Christina. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome.
Where can people find you, first of all, and in case they feel like they want to be the champion in their office space and taking on this issue, the owners of that business really do get it.
The big impact that they could have. So there's so many cool things they're doing in terms of sustainable sourcing and imperfect produce and all kinds of stuff that, yes, go visit Dig In. So you can find us at www.foodprintgroup.com.
It's so cool that someone who has no background in sustainability or environmentalism, but has an intense motivation to help make the system better, could accomplish so much. I think it's proof that even if you're not an expert at something, you can definitely still make a difference. Check out Foodprint on Twitter and Instagram at foodprint.org and follow along on their journey. Also, if you missed the beach cleanup this past weekend, it was a blast. I posted some photos and stories on Instagram. You may have missed it, but if you follow us at Trash It Beauty Co., you'll catch us for the next one. You're in luck. Rise Association are actually hosting two more sessions for cleanups and plantings at the Rockaways. On October 5th and 19th, join the group at 55th Street and Boardwalk. You can check out the website to sign up and get more information. As always, follow us on social, write in and tell us what you think. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. Stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.